Welcome to Story Building for Work. This is Module 3, Section 3.
So this final section is about telling your story. And you're going to tell your story for buy-in first. And as a reminder, its purposes are to give your colleagues clarity about the purpose of your project, initiate the personal buy-in that will lead to collective engagement, and form the basis for the larger common story, which will create collective engagement and foster a deep personal connection, the full story of your project, including the outcome. So again, clarity to engagement to connection. And we are talking here in this section about telling your story for buy-in. That's one story. And then getting to that collective story after you've gotten your buy-in, you've persuaded the engagement and you've moved people where you're going to be connected together. So review all of your notes from this program. And pay special attention to the answer you gave in Module 2, Section 3, when we ask you to determine what kind of story you are best equipped to lead your colleagues in telling as they collaborate on this project. So I emphasize there because now we're talking the larger story here and your leadership. So a couple of questions as you review the notes and consider, you know, your answer to what kind of story you're best equipped to lead your colleagues in telling. Why are you specifically and uniquely equipped to help tell that story? And secondly, just one more question. Does the thought of having the opportunity to use your unique skills create a sensation of deeper connection and greater enthusiasm for you in the story?
You know, the reason a story is so much more powerful than a stale mission statement is that it allows people to contribute in their own ways. So like stale mission statements, even the ones that are laminated and kept in pockets and purses and hung on cube walls, they don't create the same depth of buy-in and personal engagement as the opportunity to be a character in a success story does. So give your colleagues the freedom to tell the larger story, and we touched on this before, in the way that best suits their specific talents and gifts. And at the same time, they can honor the purpose of the larger narrative that you're collectively trying to tell. You know, we talked about grounding texture a little bit in the last section. And the grounding texture that story hearers or readers create in their own minds speaks to the unique way that they experience the story, right? And so this is the flip side of what we just said, or what I just said about allowing your co-storytellers to tell the story in their unique way. The listener is doing the same exact thing. They are taking your grounding texture and applying their own cognitive filters, their own experience, and then they creating for them a deeply personal connection to the story that you can simply not match, right? And this goes back to something we talked a little bit too about influence, right? So we're seeking to influence behavior and influence perceptions. And so I know, as an example, I know that when I read a book and then see the movie or TV show or even listen to the audiobook version of that same book, a lot of times I'm more critical of the production, you know, be it the movie or TV show or audiobook. You know, I'm going to be more critical of that than the book. And why is that? Simply because when I read a book, I cast the characters in my mind's eye. And sometimes I might pull on actual actors or characters that from other books or other forms of media that I've seen, and that might conjure up an image based on the description that the author gives. But regardless, what I'm doing is in my mind, I'm coming up with how these characters look and how they feel. And all of that exists in my mind as I'm taking in the story. And if the movie didn't do as good a job as my own visualization, then I probably didn't like the movie as much as I did the book. And that's generally the case, right? Because the books usually go more in depth, right? But you can also appreciate a well-cast movie, and that allows you to connect better to the material. Whereas a poorly casted movie or one that just does not match up for you, that's going to definitely reduce your enjoyment. And my favorite example of this is something that happened recently in my family. My children read the book Aragon, that whole book series, right? And then so my wife started to read them as well. And so, you know, my oldest and my wife had listened, had both read the entire series of books, and I didn't have the time to you know, pick up and read the book because they're lengthy books. So on a long car trip, we decided to pop, you know, get the CDs from the library and pop them in and listen to them. They start, the book starts playing, the narrator's pretty good or whatever, and starts doing the voices. And then there is a dragon character in the book, in the story that appears later on kind of in the narrative. The minute that character was introduced, I couldn't even hear what else was going on. We had to pause the CD so that my wife and my son could complain. And they, oh my gosh, they went on and on and on about how horribly the whole production had been done and how it was all ruined. And they didn't even want me to listen to the rest of it. They're like, no, you have to read it because this person is doing such a terrible idea. And it was funny because in my mind, the voice was fine.
Yeah.
Right? It's a dragon. So it's a deep, gravelly voice, even though the character is female dragon. But what they wanted was some female actress portraying the part. So it was very funny. But that's exactly the kind of thing that we're talking about. Two totally different experiences of the same story and the same material by a storyteller, by two different people with two different sets of expectations. I bring that up because personally I think it's not enough to just tell people that something has to be done, in the context of work as an example. You can't just tell them, right? So the story has to be part of that telling, when you're telling them what needs to be accomplished. And that story also has to be repeated often, clearly, and consistently. I think the most successful messages come in the form of a story. And the best stories are personal. And if you make the story your own as part of the telling, it will be that much easier for your audience to attempt to make it theirs as well. This is why building your story around the rhetorical triangle, right, pathos, egos, logos, is important. It forms the adhesive that sticks the grounding texture that we've talked about, those rich details, in the minds and hearts of the listener or hearer of the project's story. So as a client of Jeff says, what is for the mind and why is for the heart.
So earlier in the program, you identified that story from your past experience that came to mind in relation to what your project hopes to achieve and the challenges that you are facing. And you were then asked what it was about your project that brought this story to your consciousness. And your answer to that question, remember, it is tells you a lot about your leadership and where you want to go, but also represents the grounding texture for the larger story that you're going to tell to create buy-in for your project. And now to connect your stakeholders to the larger story, let's think about how we move from a consumer of story to a participant in story. And remember my story about John, who said to his team of directors, we have an opportunity to do something that only comes along once, maybe twice in a career. So 1 year after that moment, that story I told about John and being there with his team, I sent John a message recalling that day, and I said this to him. Remember how, as the conversation unfolded, it became clear that the director team had lost the interest-to-energy connection to the larger story acknowledged 1 year prior. You held your frustration and simply leaned back in your chair and observed what was really going on. Then, at a precise moment, you released that statement. After a year since hearing you say this, I finally realized why it has stayed with me so vividly, and I hope with each of them. You were a leader inviting others to transform themselves from being a consumer of story to a participant in story. You were issuing a challenge to each person to fill in all their blank pages with their part in the larger story. So as storytellers, we're trying to get people to hold in their minds the creative tension caused by, really, paradox. There's an author, Robert A. Johnson, who has written a book called Owning Your Own Shadow, and in there he talks about paradox, and here's what he says. True paradox is a binding together, a teacher in each opportunity. If we can hold such long enough to see something in the overlap of seeming opposites. Now, I bring this up because the paradox of storytelling for work is that people tend to think of behaviors and feelings, the subjective aspects of a situation, as being entirely separate, maybe even opposite, from the objective criteria which, by which we measure success. So in order to achieve the goals of your project, you've got to acknowledge that crucial overlap between behaviors and feelings and thought processes, the subjective, and your proposed measurement criteria, the objective. So to get certain results, you must implement certain behaviors and propagate certain attitudes. And those behaviors and attitudes are what tell your story, because actions speak louder than words. And you may remember Doug, my coaching client, who said, you know, we cannot wait to tell a story until it's 100% complete. You must, or you will miss the power in the unfolding of the story. So instead of waiting till the very end to evaluate the story or the project via objective criteria only, we must be present in the telling as the story unfolds. So you need to inquire how people feel and watch what people do. And these observations will help you achieve the desired results because they're part of the story. I mean, we may say, well, we got this, you know, here's the measurement. We did this. No, you got that. The story is what you did. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Peter Block, who's a well-known consultant and has, you know, written a lot of books and is respected in the corporate world for years as a consultant, says this that I just love. Pick your own measures that have meaning and recognize that results may not be the point of it all. The integrity and wholeheartedness of your actions may be your final measure.
It's funny how when we approach a problem with a positive attitude and fully invest ourselves in executing the necessary actions, the solution presents itself naturally. You can't lose weight simply by wanting to, right? You have to step on the scale at the end of the week and see what the numbers are, right? Otherwise, if you don't consciously do something, the number will always be the same. So instead of relying on the number on the scale as proof of your progress, measure what you do and how you feel each day. Did I run a whole mile like I said I would? Did I skip the double chocolate whipped cream latte today? Did I do 20 push-ups 3 times in a row? Do I feel more confident? Is exercise starting to suck a little less? Those are the types of observations and measures that will inevitably lead to success. And story connects personal understanding to personal accountability. As we wrap up the story building learning program, let's review the recap of the flow. And we've talked about many times clarity to engagement to connection. Clarity is the beginning point of bringing people together around the story that we desire to tell in our work. Engagement is the applied power of what you desire and intend for those you lead in this work. And connection is the impact of delivering the interest to energy link and how we collaboratively do the work.
So we hope you've enjoyed and benefited from learning how to build the right story for both buy-in and execution of your project, your initiative, your body of work. And so now it's time to go tell your story and bring others together for the collective story in that flow of clarity to engagement to connection.